Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. And this one's going to be good because we're diving into some places that maybe you haven't heard of, or maybe you've only kind of heard them mentioned in passing. As we're going through the Bible, we're looking at the Sharon Plain, Mount Carmel, and the Jezreel Valley. And we're using Dr. Elaine Phillips' Introduction to Biblical Studies to kind of guide us.
Great book.
Oh, it's such a good book. Yeah, she's a great writer, and she really brings these places to life. And you know, it's really interesting because when you think of like the Bible and important locations, you know, obviously Jerusalem comes to mind, but there are all these other places, kind of these hidden gems that were really important and played a big part in all these biblical events.
Yeah, these regions were crucial crossroads for culture, conflict, faith. They witnessed empires rise and fall, religions clash, and some of the most well-known figures from the Bible actually walked these regions.
Yeah, absolutely. There are stories of kings sneaking behind enemy lines to talk to witches who weren't even supposed to be practicing. Wow.
And you think of like, Jesus and the miracles. Well, guess what? There's a tie-in there.
Oh.
So let's start with the Sharon Plain. When you think of a plain,
Yeah.
you're probably picturing like these big open fields, right?
Like a big flat
Yeah,
expanse.
lots of green, maybe some crops. But the Sharon Plain, it was a little bit different. So imagine like a 30-mile stretch right along the Mediterranean,
Oh, wow.
and then bordered by foothills to the east. So at first glance, it doesn't sound too bad, but it had these things called Kirkar ridges.
Kirkar.
Kirkar, it's basically like a natural cement-like sandstone.
Right.
And these ridges made the plain super swampy,
Yo, yikes.
which, you can imagine if you're trying to travel through
Yeah,
there.
that's going to create a problem.
Yeah, it's going to pose a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Think about it, armies, trade goods, you know, people just trying to get around. They would have stuck to those foothills, you know, to avoid that soggy middle, made certain points along those routes really important. Totally. So picture this. You've been traveling for days, right? They're exhausted. You finally make it through this crazy swampy plain. You reach the coast, and all of a sudden, this magnificent city emerges right there before your eyes. And this is Caesarea Maritima,
Caesarea Maritima.
built by good old Herod the Great,
Of course,
the
huh?
king who, you know, we all know is very ambitious.
Quite the character.
And, you know, I think he definitely had a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to make a statement.
Absolutely. And the city wasn't just any city. I mean, Herod was incredibly savvy. He wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to build a city. It was more like,
Like a legacy project?
yeah, totally. It was a statement, like this gateway for Roman culture to flow right into Judea.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and he spared no expense. I mean, they even used underwater cement, which was unheard of at the time, to build this massive artificial harbor. Not only that, he also incorporated this flushing
Oh,
system.
flushing system.
Yeah, to keep the harbor clear of all the sediment buildup. I mean, we're talking seriously impressive engineering.
Like way ahead of their time.
Yeah, makes you wonder how they pulled it off.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, why go through all that trouble? It was a power move, for sure.
Well, definitely a power move. He wanted to show everyone just how powerful he was.
Aligning with Rome.
Yeah, and how much he was aligned with the Roman Empire. So what better way to do that than to create this grand city right on the coast, the major entry point to the region?
Like a beacon.
Exactly, a beacon of Roman influence. And Caesarea Maritima had it all, a promontory palace that literally jutted out into the sea,
I mean, come
this
on.
huge theater,
Impressive.
and a hippodrome for those epic chariot races. I mean, basically mini Rome right there in Judea.
They even found an inscription there that mentioned Pontius Pilate, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Talk about a tangible piece of history. And that inscription actually had an interesting story. It was initially part of a dedication, I think, by Pilate, but then it was later repurposed. They used it as a step.
No way.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine? Talk about layers of civilization.
Really makes you think.
I know, right? And speaking of layers, Caesarea was also the stage for some pretty intense biblical drama, like the story of Herod Agrippa's death.
Oh, yeah, that's a wild one. Described both in Acts and by the historian Josephus, too.
Right. So get this. Agrippa is giving a speech in this grand theater, decked out in these shining silver robes.
Fancy.
Oh, yeah, super fancy. And the sun is reflecting off his clothes, making him look almost godlike.
But you'd see it now.
Right. And the crowd goes wild, starts proclaiming him a god.
Oh, no.
But according to Acts, an angel strikes him down because he didn't give glory to God.
Wow.
Josephus, though, he tells a different story. He says Agrippa saw an owl, which was considered a bad omen,
right.
and then fell ill. Either way, 5 days later, he's dead.
That's quite the story.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating to see how these different sources offer contrasting viewpoints on the same event.
What's your take on that?
Well, it just shows how history can be interpreted in different ways, depending on who's telling the story.
Right, whose perspective.
Yeah, exactly. But here's where things get really interesting. So, Caesarea, right? It's this symbol of Roman power.
Yeah.
Becomes a major center for early Christianity.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about figures like Peter and Cornelius.
Oh, wow.
And even Paul, who spent time there.
It's like this unintended consequence.
Right. And we can't forget Origen and Eusebius. These were two incredibly influential figures in the early church.
Right.
And they lived and worked in Caesarea.
That's quite the shift.
It is. It's amazing to think about how this city that was meant to be the symbol of Roman influence became a launching pad for spreading the Christian faith.
Talk about unpredictable. What do you think about that?
Well, I just think it goes to show that history is full of surprises.
Right.
And that places can take on new meanings and significance over time.
Yeah.
Sometimes in ways that no one could have ever predicted.
Definitely agree with that.
All right. So let's leave the coast behind for a bit and head inland to Mount Carmel. Now, the name itself means vineyard.
Vineyard.
Yeah. And it's fitting because part of it is this lush, rain-soaked area.
So beautiful.
It really is. But Mount Carmel is more than just pretty scenery. It was a natural barrier and a critical crossroads between Israel and Phoenicia.
Okay, so geographically important.
Yeah, and that's important for understanding, you know, the religious landscape at the time. So the Phoenicians, they were super prominent in the region, and they brought with them the worship of Baal, a god that was associated with rain and fertility.
Baal.
Yeah. And this sets the stage for this epic clash of faiths that takes place right on Mount Carmel. It's a story that, I mean, it's been told and retold for centuries.
Definitely a story that stands out.
So here's the setup. There's this devastating famine gripping the land. People are desperate.
Oh.
And the worship of Baal, you know, the rain god, is being heavily promoted by the king and queen.
Okay.
Then Elijah, this incredibly bold prophet, arrives on the scene. Yeah, and he challenges the prophets of Baal to a showdown. And get this, it takes place right on Mount Carmel, like their own turf.
That's bold.
Oh, it's super bold. It's like he's saying, bring it on. And the way the story unfolds is just so powerful. Elijah, representing the God of Israel, throws down this challenge. He takes his sacrifice and completely drenches it in water, like making it impossible to light.
Light.
Yeah. The prophets of Baal, they're doing their thing, right? They're performing their rituals, calling on their god to send fire.
Yeah.
But nothing happens.
Oh, no.
Silence. Then Elijah, he prays to God, and boom, fire from heaven consumes his sacrifice.
All right.
It's this moment of just pure drama and a clear display of, you know, the power of the one true God.
Wow. That must have been something to see.
Oh, I can only imagine. But the story doesn't end there. Elijah, emboldened by this victory, he orders the prophets of Baal to be taken to the Kishon Brook and killed.
Yeah.
And this brook, it flows right through the Jezreel Valley, which, you know, becomes this symbolic site where the influence of false worship is basically washed away.
Talk about a statement.
Right. It's like this dramatic cleansing.
It really is. But you know, Mount Carmel, it's important for more than just this religious drama.
Right.
It's strategically located right on the edge of the fertile Jezreel Valley, which makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's like this bridge between different worlds almost.
Right, and that brings us to our next stop, the Jezreel Valley.
Ooh, the Jezreel Valley. Now, this place is shaped like an arrowhead.
Oh, wow.
And it's been a battleground for millennia. Empires have clashed here. Kings have made their last stands.
Wow.
Biblical heroes emerge from its soil. I mean, get ready, because we're about to uncover some truly epic stories.
Okay, I'm ready.
We'll talk about Saul's desperate nighttime journey to Endor to consult a witch before his final battle.
Ooh, spooky.
We'll uncover the incredible story of Elisha raising the Shunammite woman's son from the dead.
Wow, a miracle.
Yeah. A miracle that foreshadows what Jesus will do centuries later. And we'll even touch on the apocalyptic battle of Armageddon, which is prophesied to take place at Megiddo, this city that overlooks the valley.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack.
I know. But what's amazing is that even with this history of conflict, the Jezreel Valley was also this place of life and abundance.
Really?
Yeah, its soil was incredibly fertile, making it this vital agricultural region,
Okay.
and its location made it a crossroads for trade and cultural exchange.
So much going
I
on.
know, right? It's almost like the valley embodies this constant tension in human nature, this push and pull between creation and destruction,
Yeah, that makes sense.
this back and forth between hope and despair.
I like that.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so fascinating to explore. So let's jump into some specific locations within the Jezreel Valley, because each one has its own incredible story to tell.
I'm all ears.
Let's do it.
Let's start with Megiddo.
Okay.
George Adam Smith, the geographer,
Yeah.
called it the Royal Box of History. And it's not hard to see why, right?
Right.
Perched right at the end of this key pass through Mount Carmel, it's witnessed so many battles
Oh, yeah.
throughout history, like way back. We're talking 1400s BC.
Okay.
Thutmose III, he was the Egyptian pharaoh, led his armies to victory there.
Wow.
Centuries later, you've got King Solomon recognizing its importance.
Right.
He fortified the city to kind of control that whole region.
I can picture those ancient armies like clashing across the valley,
Yeah.
and Megiddo's just up there.
Looking down.
Yeah, watching it all. You're right. Royal Box is the perfect description.
And that image of epic conflict,
Yeah.
that's exactly why the Book of Revelation places the final battle of Armageddon at Armageddon.
Oh, wow.
Literally the mountain of Megiddo.
Okay, so we've got Megiddo, the stronghold. What about Jezreel?
Okay.
I mean, the valley is named after it.
Right.
What's the city like?
So Jezreel, it's tied up in all that drama with King Ahab and Jezebel, and of course Elijah. Remember that face-off on Mount Carmel?
Oh, yeah.
Well, after Elijah's victory, Ahab races back to Jezreel in his chariot.
Okay.
And Elijah, get this, runs ahead of him.
Wait, he outran a chariot?
Yeah.
I totally missed that part.
It really adds a whole other level, right?
There you
Like
go.
his determination, maybe some divine help, who knows? But it gets even crazier. Ahab gets back to Jezreel,
Yeah.
and Jezebel is furious
Oh, right.
about her prophets.
Yeah.
It shows that even with that victory for God, there were still powerful forces against him.
Jezreel sounds like intense.
It was.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
Nazareth, it's not in the valley exactly,
Right.
but Dr. Phillips included it for a reason,
Absolutely.
because it's the connection.
So Nazareth,
Yeah.
it's nestled in those hills overlooking the valley.
Okay.
Imagine you're Jesus growing up there,
Yeah.
looking out at all that history, Saul's downfall, Deborah's victory, that showdown on Mount Carmel. That was his childhood landscape.
That's powerful.
Right.
It's like growing up surrounded by those echoes of the past.
Exactly.
That would shape his whole ministry.
It adds a whole other layer.
It does,
It's
yeah.
like that valley was his living textbook,
Right.
a constant reminder of the struggles, the failures, and those divine interventions that shaped his people.
Okay, so Megiddo, the fortress, Jezreel, the center of royal intrigue,
Yeah.
and Nazareth, the watcher. What else is there in this valley of epic tales?
Well, there's Endor.
Oh, Endor, right? Shrouded in
And a
mystery.
little bit of fear, too.
Yeah. That's where Saul goes to see that medium, right? The Witch of Endor. That story's always given me chills.
It's intense.
Imagine being so desperate that you'd break your own religious laws,
Right?
sneak behind enemy lines, all to get a glimpse of the future.
It really shows you the state Saul was in,
Yeah, yes.
facing the Philistines, his kingdom falling apart, feeling totally cut off from God. He's clinging to any hope he can get, even if it means going against everything he believes in.
It's such a contrast to Elijah on Mount Carmel.
Right.
Elijah's unwavering and Saul's just desperate.
Two completely different approaches to faith.
It is. Makes you think about what faith really means when things are tough, you know?
It does.
How do we trust God when it feels like everything's falling apart?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is. Okay, so we've got the drama of Endor. What other stories are waiting in the Jezreel Valley?
Let's go to Shunem.
Okay.
Remember that town where Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son?
Oh, yeah.
It's a powerful story, and it points to what Jesus will do later on.
Right. And it happens right after that famine,
Yeah.
which connects back to Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel.
It all ties together.
Right. It's like the valley is weaving together these narratives of faith and despair and redemption.
And Luke, in his gospel, he directly connects Jesus's raising of the widow's son at Nain to the Elisha story.
Oh,
When
interesting.
people see Jesus's miracle,
Yeah.
they say, "A prophet has appeared among us."
Right.
Like they're recognizing this pattern.
Yeah.
a divine echo across generations.
I love that these
Yeah.
seemingly separate stories are actually all connected,
There.
revealing these deeper themes.
That's the beauty of exploring the geography and history of these regions.
It is.
It helps us see these stories not as just isolated events,
Right?
but as part of something much bigger, something that still speaks to us today.
Okay, before we finish up in the Jezreel Valley, I gotta ask about Mount Tabor.
Okay.
It keeps popping up. What
Well,
makes it so special?
so Mount Tabor, it's strategically important,
Okay.
and it has those biblical connections too. It's this prominent peak rising dramatically from the plain.
I bet the view is amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And that view would have been really important militarily, you know.
Okay.
Remember Deborah and Barak? They
Yeah.
led the Israelites against Sisera and his Canaanite army.
Right.
Well, they set up camp on Mount Tabor.
So they had the high ground. But how did they beat an army with chariots in the valley?
Well, that's where the geography of the valley comes in. The
Okay.
Song of Deborah, it describes the battle.
Yeah.
And it says, "A sudden downpour turned the valley into mud.
Oh, wow.
Sisera's chariots got stuck,
No way.
giving the Israelites the advantage."
Talk about divine intervention.
Right.
The weather was on their side.
It's a reminder that in these stories, the natural world is often a key player.
Yeah.
The terrain, the weather, even the landscape itself can shape what happens.
So Mount Tabor, it's a place of strategic advantage, biblical battles, and a divine downpour or two.
Exactly. And it's also traditionally linked to the Transfiguration.
Oh, wow.
That moment when Jesus, with Peter, James, and John,
Yeah.
was revealed in his glory.
Okay.
It connects Mount Tabor to this pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry, this moment of profound spiritual transformation.
Wow, from ancient battles to a glimpse of the
It
divine.
really makes you think about those layers of history and meaning in these places.
It does. I'm starting to see why Dr. Phillips talks about the importance of place.
Yeah.
It's clear that these locations aren't just backdrops, they're like characters in the story.
They are.
It makes you think about, like, how much more is there, you know?
Right.
How many more layers are hidden, waiting to be discovered?
That's what I love about studying the Bible in context.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about memorizing verses, it's about understanding these human stories,
Right.
their struggles, their triumphs, and how place played a part in it all.
Exactly. It's like these places become characters themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So let's recap our journey today.
Okay.
We started on the Sharon Plain,
Yeah.
that region shaped by geography and ambition,
Right.
where Herod built Caesarea Maritima, his Roman city meant to show off, but it ended up a hub for early Christianity.
Interesting how that happens.
It is.
Yeah.
Then we went to Mount Carmel, that natural barrier and crossroads. We saw Elijah face off against the prophets of Baal.
Powerful story.
It is affirming the God of Israel, cleansing the land. And finally, the Jezreel Valley, that battleground shaped like an arrowhead. Empires clashed there. Biblical heroes rose to the challenge.
Lots of stories in that valley.
So many. We walked with Saul, Deborah, Gideon, and we even pictured Jesus looking out over that valley
Right.
with its history of conflict, faith, and renewal.
It's been quite the journey.
It
From
has.
those Roman dreams at Caesarea to that clash of faiths on Mount Carmel to those battles echoing in the Jezreel Valley,
Yeah.
we've uncovered so much.
We have.
What stands out most to you?
Honestly, it's how important these places are.
Yeah.
They're often overshadowed in the big picture, but they were crucial. They
Right.
weren't just settings. They were the stage for huge moments in history.
And that leads me to a final thought.
Okay.
Thinking about these stories of conflict and faith, what do you think these regions tell us about the power of place?
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
How it shapes history, how it shapes belief. It really makes you realize that every location has a story, you
Sure,
know,
it does.
a legacy that shapes the people and events that happen there,
Yeah.
and who knows what else is waiting to be discovered.
Right.
So keep exploring, keep digging deeper, keep those deep dive questions coming.
Yeah.
Until next time, happy exploring.